We're going to be talking with a favorite person of mine here in just a moment. She has her own radio show on the internet, and we'll give you all the information here after we finish talking to her, because you want to check her out on the web. If you like paranormal things and UFOs, you're just going to love Mary Sutherland. That'll be coming up here next. Got some interesting things to talk to Mary about. Mary Sutherland, one of our favorite people. We've had a lot of fun while we've been here at Roswell. But I want to get serious with you here for a moment. Let's talk about some of the more esoteric things concerning UFOs and ufology. Let's say, you want to get serious with
me? Stephen
Bassett told me the other day that he thought we had a good chance of maybe getting some government hint, if not a complete recognition of this UFO cover-up in the next year or so. I just think he's overly optimistic.
I think in 2 years. I agree with him. I think within 2 years we're all going to know about this.
Why?
The working with energies, collective consciousness, the mass critical point, when enough people are putting their energies together, eventually what happens is you hit a mass critical point. And at that point of time, it's like waves coming in, waves coming out. Eventually, you hit to a point, you know, a breaking point, and then, something happens. And that's where we're going now. We're building it up. It's like putting more and more air in a balloon. The more air you put in, eventually, boom, it's got to give. Same way with holding water back from a dam. Sooner or later, the dam's going to give.
Well, I do know from a media standpoint that UFOs and paranormal subjects are discussed quite a lot more with no longer a snicker,
right,
by many people in the media than, and so you may be right on that standpoint. We may be getting there, getting a little education about it, but 2 years is pretty quick.
Oh, I'd say it could happen anytime, basically. I'm thinking, my theory is that the government is all, I believe, and I'm really stepping out here in this one, but I'm going to say it anyhow.
Well, good. That's what this show's all about.
I'm going to say it. I believe that Britain and the United States are allies with the aliens. I believe that in exchange for technology, the United States and Britain have held back on giving the information, or wait, no, I'm sorry. The aliens have held back on giving information to the people of their existence, until the United States and Britain and the various people of the world have a chance to prepare the people and set things up for them to make acknowledgement to the world of who and what they are. But I believe that the aliens have also given them a certain time factor to get all this done. And I think that time is, I think it's up. I think that's why the government is backed down and is allowing the media to now come across and do their work for them. Let people know. Prepare the people of the alien existence. And it's not that they've just been here.
Well,
they've been
here
for
you,
thousands
I've been doing
of years.
Talk shows for longer than you've been around,
yeah,
probably. And I've never had any contact with any government agency told me not to talk about it or to talk about it.
No. I haven't either, you know, but there has been some out there that they claim that.
I mean, you get pressure maybe from third parties, but not anything direct.
Yeah, but there has been, we do know that there has been people that have been intimidated. I think that, like, during the Roswell days, I think that was pretty common, you know, intimidation, even going past the point of intimidation. But I believe that nowadays there's too many people that know about it. We had the internet. It's too easy for us to access information and to send information on. I think that they're no longer, the only way they could get away with before is to operate in the shadows. You know, because we didn't have the internet, we didn't have the means of communication we have today. But now there's no shadows to operate within. you know, so they have to change their, what is it called, their MO.
Okay. Well, we're at the International UFO Museum and Research Center, and Mary Sullivan, of course, is with us. And Mary, you have an interesting guest here, Robert Kress. I've heard a lot about him. Would you introduce our audience?
Well, this is Robert Kress, and what we're going to be doing today is discussing DNA and the Adam and Eve theory of the Bible and how it all works together as one.
Well, Robert, that sounds pretty interesting. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Now, let's get right into it. What do you mean, the DNA, Adam and Eve theory?
Well, it dawned on me one time that how God says he made Adam first and then took the rib to make Eve. It dawned on me that he didn't say he made Eve first and took the rib to make Adam, right? And like the male has both of all the chromosome types needed for both species.
So you're saying actually that biblically they were talking about DNA even then?
Yeah, it was God talking, and he dictated the Bible to Moses, and God knows about science, and he was able to tell people that are primitive, even though just by making the male first, that it's about DNA. And the idea is by putting the new gene on just one chromosome, like eventually in the first male and the first female, there'll be like four number seven chromosomes. The idea is by putting it on one chromosome first, and then rearranging the DNA and multiplying it out, you eventually get on a first male and a first female that has the new gene exactly 100% in the same location on the chromosome.
Well, now, Mary, you've talked to Robert before, so I'll give you the first crack at the first question.
Okay, what about they said that Eve was taken from the rib of Adam? How would that work with your DNA theory?
Well, okay, first off, the Adam and Eve story is like a three-step improvement over the way we do genetic engineering now. And like, by discussing each step, we'll understand it better. It's like progressive. And like, the first step is actually getting a new gene on the same location in like the first male, right? And by taking some DNA from a chimpanzee or whichever species was like, you know, our predecessor, right? And then like adding, like say, one gene to say a number seven chromosome and growing them up and test to make sure the gene it works, right? And then you could take some of his DNA, separate it from 46, like the rib cells, from 46 chromosome cells to 23 chromosome cells, right? Now, of the, like, you're making a female, so you want cells with the X chromosomes?
Well, that's the rib taken from Adam, metaphorically.
Well, I think, you know, they actually did take a rib, you know. The ribs make cells, like, there's only certain bones that make cells, you know. And you take the 46 chromosome cells, you separate them into 23 chromosome cells, which, like, artificially make egg cells and sperm cells. Of the cells that have an X chromosome, 50% will have the new gene and 50% will not. So you take two that have the next chromosome and the new gene and put them together, start them to grow, and that would be the first female. Now already you have, out of four chromosomes, you have three that have the new gene in exactly the same location. And it'd be pretty difficult to find the same spot. This is like a real easy way to do it.
Well, now literally you're saying the Adam and Eve story is completely true.
I think it's actually the way all species were made that are male and female and have chromosomes like our chromosome 1 through 22, you know, on the planet.
Genetically manipulated?
Yes. And,
well, let's talk a little bit about the Bible and UFOs that come up all the time.
Okay.
And you've actually studied this a little bit. What's your take on it? I mean, you know, there's everybody's familiar with the spaceships of Ezekiel and other passages. What do you think about it all?
Well, if you look at the way how God does things in the Bible, okay, in like Numbers chapter 12, verse 5, you know, if you think of the old thought of what God was, like a big energy ghost that made the universe, this says the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, stood on the ground and talked, right? So like, it didn't fit with the big energy ghost idea, you know what I mean? Like, that's how aliens pick people up, and that's how aliens themselves come down, you know? But there's no vehicle at that spot, right? So, like, when people take evidence, even today, they get fragments of the whole story, right? They don't get the whole thing. There could have been a cloudy day. They could have deliberately, you know, made it cloudy that day, or just hid the UFO in there so, like, it wasn't seen, you know what I mean? But there are examples in the Bible, there's three, where you got the vehicle, the beam of light, and someone lifted up or lowered.
You say there are three?
There's three, yes. Like 2 Kings 2:11. Now, okay, 2 Kings 2:11 is the words of the narrator. This is the person that wrote 2 Kings, right? The guy that actually saw the incident, okay, this is like Elisha. This is the prophet of Elijah. When he describes it, he doesn't describe the beam. He says, like, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And, like, the horsemen would be the aliens, right? But he doesn't say there's horses there, right? So, like, there's stuff in the Bible that's, like, deliberately to confuse us, right? So, like, it says, like, in 2 Kings 2:11, it says, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, or separated Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up to heaven by a whirlwind. Now, in this case, the whirlwind is the beam of light, and it's the same as the pillar of the cloud, like in Numbers 12:5. And, like, something real interesting I found. See, three verses before 2 Kings 2:11, the waters parted just like at the Red Sea, right? And like the pillar of the clouds at the Red Sea, right? And three verses after 2 Kings 2:11, the waters parted again, right? And like the mirror image of this is at the Red Sea. Like the UFO sightings in the middle and the waters parted on either side. Okay, at the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 and 22 is where the waters parted. And two verses before that and two verses after that, the pillar of the clouds there. So, like, what the idea is that the UFO's present whenever the waters were parted and they're involved also in it, you know what I mean? And, like, I thought about the Red Sea. Suppose that you could, if you have, like, a fire hose and you push it, you shoot it at water, it'll push the water away and make a big hole, you know what I mean? So it has force, right? Okay, now instead of using water to do this, how about if you use, like, a particle accelerator to part the water, right? And I listened to a talk show where they saw a UFO taking water up in the beam of light. Okay, and they were stunned about that, by the way. Okay, so, like, they could suck the water out, and, like, crop circles, Linda Howe mentioned how in crop circles the dirt is dehydrated within the crop circle, and outside the crop circle it's like normal dirt, you know what I mean? So, like, in one night, okay, they had to take the water away, make a path over which they could walk through, and dehydrate the dirt, because it says, like, in one night, they were able, in the next morning, they walked across on dry ground, right? And, like, water at the bottom of a huge lake is like mucky, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and it was dehydrated in one day, one night, okay?
So, well, let me get this straight. You're saying that, because even today on our UFO reports, all the time on our UFO files, we have reports of a saucer craft behind clouds disappearing gradually, and beams of a light or matter pulling water up to the saucer. That's pretty common, several of those reports. Are you saying even back in the biblical days, God was, maybe it wasn't God, it was a UFO, or what?
Well, okay, we formed a definition of what God is before we knew about science. There's like five verses in the Bible that says we're going to figure out what God is right before the second coming. And like Daniel 12:4 says there's stuff hidden in the Bible until knowledge is increased. And Revelation 10:7 says, as the seventh angel is beginning to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So this idea that we're going to know what God is after that happens. And a lot of people form their ideas of what God is starting out in Genesis, right? And like that's a deliberately made complicated thing to understand, you know, what is made the universe or a solar system there, you know what I mean? And like right before the first commandment, God says, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. So if you look through the details of the miracles that were done in Egypt, right, not only from when they were brought out, but the 40 years in the wilderness, the pillar of clouds involved in taking them out of Egypt, and in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, took me a while to understand this, right? The pillar of the clouds moving as he guides them as they travel. And the angel of the Lord, in that case, is held up off the ground as the pillar of the cloud moves.
Now, I know from last night's interview a little bit about this. You had said last night that there was different types of races of aliens mentioned in the Bible.
Yes.
And you talked about this beam of light and how they use this beam of light. Would you like to tell us your theory on who God is and who these other angelic beings are, as far as alien races?
Well, okay, realize that God can make more than one species of like intelligent being like us, and the cherubims. They were the first planet. Earth was made. They grew up, you know, went through their technological age, had their second coming, and were already working with God and working in close proximity to God. By Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, he put a cherubim at the Garden of Eden, with a flaming sword to keep the way of the Garden of Eden. You know what I mean? So the cherubims are already farther ahead than we are now. They're already past the second coming. So God can make solar systems independently. God can make species independently. Our beginning is not the beginning of the universe. Genesis chapter 1 is talking about making a solar system. Evidence, the waters already existed before God created, said, let there be light, right? His face, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The waters would be like nebulous material. This is matter. Okay, matter already existed before our beginning, you know what I mean, what God created. The order of things created, let there be light, that's where the sun gets made. Separated the light from the darkness, that's where the planets gets made. Like, you know, you see a picture of a planet with a telescope and it's half dark and half light. Heaven gets made by verse 8. Heaven's our atmosphere. There's many verses in the Bible where God talks, the fowls of heaven, birds fly in our atmosphere, the birds don't fly in space, right? So heaven's our atmosphere. And basically, if you get the definitions of the word right, okay, it all makes sense, okay? Like, you know about the word spirit, how I use that, and spirit and ghost in different verses to see what's made sense? Matthew chapter 5, verse, I think it's 4 or something like that. Blessed is he that is poor in spirit. Okay, Jesus is just starting to give a lecture. The very first thing that he says, blessed are ye that are poor.
We have reports every week of UFOs. What's this all about?
Well, okay, they're taking information down, you know what I mean? Abducting people, seeing what all the countries are up to, you know what I mean?
These are the same people, though, that were in the Bible?
Oh, yeah, I think definitely. I think, like, you know, in space, when you think about space, the place, like, where you would, if you're a genetic engineer and you're going to plant stuff, is planet. And, like, you know, if your species gets old and your planet's going to die, you're going to have to learn how to make them, or your species is going to go away, or, you know, or maybe fly to another solar system, right? So, like, I think that it's easy to make solar systems. You know what I mean? Easy.
Well, Mary and I were talking yesterday about 50 different species, perhaps, have been reported. Are they all good, or are they all evil, or what?
I think that they all have to obey the same commandments that we obey. You know, like, God says he obeys the commandments, right? Every species that, like, pretty much escapes prior to the second coming and escapes to live after the second coming, they have to obey the commandments. And, like, frankly, people that call aliens demons, okay, they could come and just bomb our cities for laughs, okay? They got all kinds of weapon power. Obey the commandments. They're giving us time to understand how to obey commandment one. What is God? You know what I mean? They're giving us time to understand it. But, like, we got to watch because the time might run out soon, and then, like, you know, and then judgment day, you know what I mean? People think God's a big energy ghost. If you would put on scales, evidence God's a big energy ghost, and God's one species of let us make man in our likeness, right? There's all kinds of evidence for an alien species, right? There's very little evidence for ghosts.
Yeah, but Robert, out of these 50 species we've talked about, very few are in our likeness.
Well, likeness could be like...
I mean, you even go back to the Bible and you talk about the cherubs. They're not in our likeness.
So, yeah, they have wings, yeah.
And we don't have wings.
Well, likeness could be like...
No. Speak for yourself there.
Well, likeness could be like, you know, like bipeds, you know, hands to use tools, right? Be able to communicate with language, right? And like once you can use tools and communicate and think abstract thoughts, you know what I mean? Then you can turn rocks into computers, you know what I mean? So like, I think that by making species of different types, everybody's looking at science from a different perspective. And what this species might miss because of the way their brain's arranged, these guys might catch on, you know what I mean? And it's like an never-ending quest to learn more about science. And they might have pretty much ran out of, like, nuclear physics and chemistry, but genetics, there's infinite amount that you could do by just making different species. You could learn all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean?
We have several different bodies. We have the physical body, we have an astral body. What do you think about the possibility that man was made in the likeness as in astral body instead of physical?
Well, okay, I don't think that there is an astral body. Okay, I think that the physical body we got is like the soul, okay? In Leviticus, it talks of like Leviticus chapter 7, verse 18. The soul that eats food that was made for sacrifice after 3 days, that soul shall bear his iniquity. Well, they didn't have refrigerators, so like that would be food poisoning, you know what I mean? But it says the soul can eat food, right?
But so what about your energy? Maybe I shouldn't say soul. Maybe I shouldn't say astral. Maybe what I should be saying is your energy field, your body of energy.
Well, you know, I've studied this stuff a lot in my past. I had a book on called The Human Aura by the lady that, her name was, Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Did you ever hear her? Like, it didn't make much sense when I read it, you know what I mean? But I know the concepts, you know. I tried to ask her to project before, you know. It wasn't like, it didn't work, you know.
Well, it's been an interesting discussion here, and I'm not quite sure what category we put you in. I guess a fundamentalist ufologist.
Well, I'm an electronics technician. I studied Red Scientific American a lot, you know. I went to church from grade 6 through grade 12, and I did not at all believe what they were saying. You know, I got all the evidence, okay, like in-depth evidence. The big energy ghost doesn't fit hardly any of this. That's why they don't use it. You know what I mean?
What is Earl, for your website?
Oh, okay.
We have a link to it, but go ahead and give it here as well.
https://rkres024/myhomepage/index.html, and they can put rcrest024 in the search engine, and it only goes to a couple sites, and one says God alien man relationship is mine.
Mary Sutherland, your internet radio program, of course, can be accessed at BUFO, Paranormal, and UFO Radio. That's BUFO, Paranormal, and UFO Radio. That's www.burlingtonnews, all one word, burlingtonnews.net. And Robert Kress, you have the complete story about Adam and Eve and the DNA and everything we've been talking about on the web, too. Now, of course, we have a link to both Mary's site and, Robert, to your Adam and Eve information there. from our website on the UFO section at jerrypippin.com. JerryPippin, P as in Paul. We'll have to continue this discussion another hour, Robert and Mary. Interesting. Interesting stuff. That's it for this hour from the UFO Museum, the International UFO Museum and Research Center in Roswell, New Mexico. I'm Jerry Pippin.